I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
Read my lips.
Just send your cash.
There has never been so many lies, so much deception.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Please clap.
It's time for the Mike Madison Show, a new breed of conservative talk. Now, here's your host, Mike Madison.
Showtime! Woo!
All right, good morning and welcome to the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB, weekdays 9 to 11 o'clock. This is your safe space for independent thinkers out there. I'm not beholden to any party or any politician. Just calling them like we see them in this age of abject insanity, mass insanity, apparently. I'm going to talk, obviously, today about what's going on virus-related, its impacts on society and business and the economy. I've got all kinds of fun stuff today, including a few clips, as we are in week two here in Mississippi of the Great American Timeout. I saw a Mississippi pastor up there in the Delta. I don't know if he was harassed again this weekend. Like, I don't know if this was a... I saw this clip yesterday. I don't know if this was the original arrest, but he had a police officer come up and tell him he was going to have cars pull up in a church service there in his parking lot early on a Sunday morning. A police showed up, and there was a video of one of the police officers explaining to him that his rights had been suspended. That's just a... single police officer had pretty much decided, no, your rights are on hold right now, and this is really what we're seeing across society. We are finding ourselves in a situation where we're in the United States of America. You have to show some. This is where I work. May I please go to work so I can feed my family? Here's the business that I run. You have deemed it essential. May I please keep my business open so I can pay my employees and we can all eat and keep roofs over our head? As a libertarian, this is the most insane exercise I've seen us go through in my 52 years. And at some point, the government just says no. Across the country, they're telling you no. Your police officer's telling you your rights are suspended for right now because the State Department of Health apparently has suspended them. There's no actual martial law installed here. It's a soft martial law, but the government says, no, you can't go to work. No, you can't go here. No, you can't go there. No, you can't open the doors of your business. But I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll give you some money to buy food. As long as you do what you're told, we'll give you some money. You can't open your business. We're saying, no, no, you can't operate your business as you see fit. But I'll tell you what, if you do as you're told, we'll give you some business income. Just fill out your forms. And now they are floating this idea of 18-month rolling lockdowns. Can you imagine? Can you imagine being a business owner and how we would have to operate for the next 18 months? Knowing that there's always that possibility that a couple of cases flare up of the coronavirus, then you may be right back out of your business and putting your employees to the curb for another period of time. This is just, it's insane. We're going to take a look at some of the people that are involved in this. You know, it's becoming more and more clear, really. I mean, honestly, as we go through this thing, it is becoming really clear. Now, I am not somebody who believes that this virus is just the common cold, even though the numbers look like they are going to be. Look, if you get this thing and you're susceptible to it, it's a bad one. But it's on you. Americans should look at this as if there is a bad bug out there that's hurting certain people, then if you've got COPD, you probably need to really quarantine. If you've got diabetes, you may want to take a little bit of time in your house to actually address the underlying condition of your diabetes. If you have type 2 diabetes and you've gotten it through lifestyle, you can fix it through lifestyle for a vast majority of you. Maybe this is a good time to work on that so that you don't have to quarantine. But this lockdown, this shutdown, and really, you know, even here in Mississippi, we're seeing kind of the tamer end of it. But it's absolutely insane. One group, I don't know if you saw this, entertainment industry is really having their struggles, aren't they? It is just, I don't watch much television at all. As a matter of fact, I've gotten to the point where I don't know how anybody watches network television anymore for any reason at any time outside of sports. And sports aren't on, so there's really not much left for them. Now, luckily, I have no memory for who won what and what year and all that, so I can watch sports reruns and I can be entertained by that. But the entertainment industry has really been struggling with this. It has hurt them. And some things just don't translate well to an at-home broadcast. Did you hear Saturday Night Live on Saturday night? I did not see it, but I caught this clip. This is Tom Hanks doing the opening of Saturday Night Live. Let me just tell you right now, it's brutal. Be prepared. Without the high production and the applause sign. Have you ever been to one of these shows? I've been to a couple of them. I remember I went to Johnny Carson when I lived out in L.A., which was that was interesting. You know, Johnny Carson, come on. Gotta love Johnny Carson. It was kind of exciting to be there. But there's applause signs and, you know, there's hype people that go up there and warm the crowd up. It's a very massaged group in all of these different mediums. Colbert, all the rest of these people. Saturday Night Live, I gotta tell you, you're gonna have to do some reruns because this will not work for you.
Ladies and gentlemen, Tom Hanks.
Hey. Oh, whoa, thank you. That is some sound effect of applause and whistles. Thank you. Thank you, engineers. Hey, all you cool cats and kittens. It's me, your old pal. Don't worry now. Don't be afraid. This shaved head was just for a movie, and my hair is growing back very slowly. It does save time in the shower, so I don't know. Maybe we should all do it, huh? Hey, it's good to be here, though it is also very weird to be here hosting Saturday Night Live from home. It is a strange time to try and be funny. But trying to be funny is SNL's whole thing. So we thought, what the heck? Let's give it a shot. But why me as host? Well, for one, I have been the celebrity canary in the coal mine for the coronavirus. And ever since being diagnosed, I have been more like America's dad than ever before, since no one wants to be around me very long, and I make people uncomfortable. Now, I was diagnosed back in March with the coronavirus. I was first diagnosed down in Australia. Now, the folks in Australia are fantastic in every way, but they use Celsius instead of Fahrenheit when they take your temperature. So they come in and they say, yeah, 36, which seemed very bad to me, but it turns out 36 is fine. 38 is bad. So basically, it's how Hollywood treats female actors.
And this went on for apparently about 6 minutes. So I gotta say, one casualty we can chalk up to coronavirus for sure is Saturday Night Live. I don't know if they will attempt to do that on a weekly basis going forward. New York City, they've got to be at least a month away. Let me just, my word of advice to Saturday Night Live, reruns, and maybe some of the good seasons. You know, you want to boost your ratings. You haven't been funny for about 3 or 4 years now. You might want to go back to the Chris Farley days, the Dan Aykroyd days, the Eddie Murphy days, and let's take a breather on the phone in from home shows. You know, we're going to talk about what is behind this outbreak and then some of the response to it. But I had a terrifying thought yesterday. What if they found out that the coronavirus was actually transmitted by mosquito? Now, I don't know if this is going to be the case, but if you're treating something with anti-malaria drugs and mosquitoes are known vectors for disease, if they find out, what are we going to do? What are the lengths that they will go to in Mississippi or across the nation if they find out that, because, you know, in the next few weeks, we are going to see the reopening of society. People hopefully will demand it, but even if they don't, then authorities, realizing the tremendous damage they're doing to our economy, are going to have to reopen things. If they find out this, what, long sleeves, we're going to have police officers, our health, air quotes here in the studio, authorities are going to be demanding that we coat ourselves in bug spray and wear long sleeves and not go out at dusk. Now, that would have sounded absolutely insane had I said that 8 weeks ago, but in our new world, then I can imagine just absolutely draconian things, and then everybody's got to be scared every time you hear a buzz. Now, I think this is true. The mosquitoes that buzz are actually not the ones that bite. This was always my, you know, it's kind of a dad joke my dad used with me. He said, it's not, you don't have to worry. When you hear buzzing, that's not when to worry. It's when you hear nothing. That's when you need to be concerned. So anyway, we're going to talk about some of the reaction to this. Look, this whole lockdown situation, all of the hysteria surrounding coronavirus becomes more clear with each passing day. Because one of the things that we unpack on this show week in and week out is following the money, trying to figure out what the reason for things was. It's never, look, the reason we have a problem with Iran is not because of some level of terrorism or that Iran is some aggressive. No, look, this is pipeline issues. It's fighting wars for Saudi Arabia and Israel. It is all kinds of different reasons about what they tell us. And it's usually very easy from afar to follow the money. We've always been suspicious of who was going to profit from what's going on right now, but it's becoming more and more clear. So we're going to be talking about that certainly in the coming days and weeks as we figure out what was actually behind the insanity that we allowed to grip us. We'll be right back.
If you need an experienced lawyer that you can trust, contact the law firm of Danks, Miller & Corey. Our lawyers represent clients and small businesses across Mississippi. With over 100 years of combined legal experience, we have the expertise to handle even the most complex legal matters. When you need a lawyer to fight for you, don't compromise. Call Danks, Miller & Corey. You can reach us at 601-957-3101, 601-957-3101, or online at DanksMillerCorey.com.
I have been slowly watching the reactions, not just in the United States, but around the world, to the virus, and increasingly alarmed at what we're allowing to take place right now. I've been, as a libertarian, increasingly alarmed at what the average American allows to take place for years and years. This is a whole new level of power grab right now. These were just some of the headlines and stories that I have seen over the last couple of days. Michigan bans travel between residences. Michigan apparently is one of the most totalitarian states. The governor right there not doing her people any favors. I don't know if that was a town-by-town ban or a state ban. Boston suburb threatens $100 fines to anyone walking in the wrong direction. I think they're making the sidewalks one-way sidewalks. So you don't pass somebody. You can... Are we not infected? If everybody's moving in the same direction, is there no chance of infection? Is this some new breaking thing? It's just when you meet somebody moving in the opposite direction that you become infected. Fauci, who we'll probably talk about it a little bit, I don't know how much today, but certainly in the coming days, Fauci and Burks have been exposed, essentially, as really, really bad players in this whole thing. And I'll admit, I think I said at some point, you know, didn't really know. It seemed like they were good spokespeople for this. But the more you learn about Fauci and the more you hear out of his mouth, the more you understand this guy is not doing us any favors. This is a swamp creature. He says Americans could eventually carry certificates of immunity. This is either testing for the antibodies or having your vaccine. We're certainly going to be talking about the vaccines coming up. A man dragged off a bus by police for not wearing a face mask. I don't know if you saw this video over the weekend. 10 police officers came and drug a man off of the bus for not wearing a face mask. Physically grabbed him, pulled him off the bus. Now, I got to tell you, there's a lot of different instances that we've been worried about, particularly those of us with small, limited government beliefs, as to which way the police and the military might go if things really got bad in the United States. And we all cling to this idea that, you know, they're all patriots and they would never turn on the American people. I got to tell you, the evidence is really to the contrary about that. Maybe that's more New York than anywhere else. But I played the Purge sirens that they were playing down in Louisiana yesterday to announce the curfew. Going down the street, these are police officers in their car playing the purge sirens as they go down and lock their citizens in their homes in small town, southern state Louisiana. Here's another southern state. Officials in Kentucky will document the license plate numbers of individuals attending mass gatherings over Easter weekend and turn that information over to health officials who will require individuals to self-quarantine for 14 days. This is Governor Andy Beshear announced on Friday. The government, as much, they've got Rand Paul and Thomas Massey from Kentucky up in Washington, D.C., two of the best ones up there. But for some reason, they've got Andy Beshear is a Democrat governor. They are going to track and record the license plate numbers of people attending church. They're going to force you into 14 days of quarantine. I don't know what the draconian penalties will be for breaking that. How dare you go to church? The state has said you do not attend a service, even in your car. So this is what us slaves are going to have to get used to, because we're apparently too stupid to live our own lives, walk out the door. We have to be in compliance to a bunch of local, state, and federal politicians. And look, I have said this since the day I came on WYAB here. Worshiping at the altar of law and order. And that is what typically on the right, it's okay to support your police when they're enforcing laws that protect us from harm. But we have allowed this adherence to law and order, meaning that if there is any law put into place by a bunch of flawed politicians and the police are tasked to enforce it, that we should be completely in support of the police. You must obey. You must conform. You must submit to any law by any politician. And I've been saying since the day I came on this air, this adherence to this idea of law and order ignores the fact that you've got a lot of very flawed politicians passing these laws. And just because a bunch of politicians pass a law does not make it right or make it moral. And maybe now we're finally going to see that for what it is. I mean, you've got laws out there that tell somebody if they want to enjoy a plant in their living room, living alone or with a roommate, and they choose not to drink bourbon or tequila shots, but they want to smoke a joint, that somehow they need to be, the door needs to be knocked down and they need to be SWAT raided and taken into and put into a cage. Now, I'm not a drug user. You haven't tuned into some liberal hippie show, some dope smoker. I'm telling you, freedom is freedom. You either trust people with it and you think that society is better to have as much freedom as possible, or you do not. You don't get to pick and choose it. Mike Huckabee, there's a story about him. He is suing the sheriff of his Florida town because they are not allowing him to go into his own backyard, which is a beach on the Florida coastline. Now, he's right on that, but this is the same guy who has told you to obey all laws and orders. He's a law and order guy. He believes that if somebody ingests a plant in their living room, that the door should be knocked down and they should be drug out by their hair in their own living room. Yet suddenly he says, well, wait a second. They're telling me I can't go onto this sandy beach behind my 10,000 square foot Florida mansion. Suddenly, he doesn't believe a law and order is all that it's cracked up to be in that particular sense. It is always kind of amazing. Now, Huckabee has written books and things like that, but it is pretty amazing that the guy's got a 10,000 square foot mansion, 6 bedrooms, more bathrooms, a pool, and he has taken over the beach behind his house. Then he's right. He should have the ability and the right, if that property has been deemed his, to walk out of his back door and go out onto the beach. And he's right to sue the sheriffs there. I wish we had a more consistent core belief in personal freedom rather than waiting until some law or some action encroaches upon your freedoms where you suddenly get incensed. See, you've already let the camel's nose under the tent for years and years and years. Yeah, stop and frisk may have busted some people with some guns. But what you've allowed is a culture of managing the population like they are all suspects of something. We've allowed civil asset forfeiture where you can just get pulled over going down the road. And if you have too much cash, I don't know who gets to decide, but apparently if you have probably over $1,000 cash in your car, the police can just take it. They don't even have to accuse you of a crime. They can send you on their way, but they're just going to take that money because they say that you're not. There's no reason for you to have that amount of cash. We've allowed that for decades and decades. Finally, people are pushing back against that. But I just wish Republicans and conservatives would start having a little bit more generous view of actual freedom. But again, freedoms are taken in times of fear. Fear that drugs will infest every level of society, even though places that have legalized or decriminalized have shown exactly the opposite of that. When you treat drug addiction as a medical issue and not a law enforcement issue, society overwhelmingly becomes much healthier and much happier, and you get rid of drug gangs. But it's the fear. They keep the fear in you that every little Sally and every little Johnny is going to end up being a crackhead if you don't throw everybody who touches a deemed illegal substance into prison. It's always this fear. This is international, too. Police in Canada will visit homes of people under coronavirus quarantine to check that they are in compliance, with those who flout the law facing a fine of up to $1 million and 3 years in jail. Czechoslovakia. This was a truly sad story. This is when you know it's gone too far. The freest among us in Czechoslovakia, nudist, told to wear face masks by police. I mean, I don't know. I mean, you know, you can shuck everything else, but make sure that you've got a face mask on. Got a caller on the line. Caller, are you with me?
Hey, Mike, enjoying your show.
Hey, thanks, man.
Another example of actually what you're bringing up is the airport. One of the things that just gets my gall every time I have to stand through those long lines at the TSA and walk through the scanners, the naked body scanners, take your shoes off, do this, do that.
Right.
And everyone walks through there so compliant, like cattle for the slaughter, walking through the chutes. And I am just there, just so angry that I can't even contain myself. And even my family, like, well, you know, they're trying to keep us safe, you know.
Oh, it is just...
What happened to the Fourth Amendment? You know, unlawful search and seizure.
Yeah, and
that probable cause.
And they've missed, I mean, every time the TSA has been tested, they miss 90 to 95% of all weapons brought onto planes. So even with all this molestation of our elderly and our young children, literal, physical molestation of people, the TSA is wildly inefficient and ineffective. And it also tells you something else, that if they're missing 90 to 95% of things, and we have not had a problem with terrorism and hijackings and stuff like that, the natural conclusion is really that not that many people are trying. So this fear that's been put into everybody's head to make them surrender their privacy, seriously, they are molesting people at the airports to address a non-existent problem that has just been fear-mongered to the American people.
I mean, who would have thought that we would consent to basically, it's a strip search,
Yes.
And, you know, walking through these scanners, lifting your arms up, knowing someone's seeing your wife's naked body. You know, and oh, no, they're not. Oh, yes, I've seen the resemblance of what they see.
Oh, and they've gotten caught sharing those images.
Exactly. And the second thing that frustrates me so much is when I am so angry going through here knowing that my rights are being violated and everyone else is just so complicit. Well, you know, it's for her own good. Oh, what you going to do? You want to travel. You don't have to travel.
You're starting to cut out on me. We're kind of losing the signal with you there. I'm try to call back when you get a better signal. Yeah, you're right. And the other thing is, too, you know, this is the government coming in to do this screening. Look, if American Airlines wants to have these kinds of screening procedures, people might get a little upset. But then Delta could come in and go, you know what? We're not going to molest your children. And then people could say, you know what, I don't want my children molested heading onto a plane, so I'm going to choose Delta. And who has the biggest incentive to not have a problem on their planes going from one location to another? Is it the TSA? What do they care? If the TSA fails a checkpoint, if they fail and something happens to a plane, you know what will happen to the TSA? They'll get more money. More money. It's a completely perverse incentive thing. The same way we're going to see the CDC, after what they have just done to this country, and we're finding out that they were completely unprepared for a pandemic in the first place after getting billions and billions of dollars. So they've shown an abject failure. So you know what's going to happen to the CDC? Our heads going to roll? Are we going to do away with the agency? Absolutely not. We're going to increase its budget. Now, had the airlines themselves, had American Airlines taken on this task of their own security, they have an interest in keeping their planes safe. Because if something happens to an American Airlines and you went through an American checkpoint to their gates, then American Airlines suffers from that. And the other companies benefit. You see, in private sector, the consequences are you provide the best product you possibly can to try to get market share, try to get a safe product, a product that people enjoy. As soon as the government does it, they realize that the worse they do with it, the more funding that they get. The psychopaths who, I mean, the Pentagon can't account for somewhere between $8.5 and $21 trillion. It'd be kind of handy to have that money laying around right now, wouldn't it? That does not include the $7 trillion we spent on wars across the country. They cannot account for $8.5 to $21 trillion. And what's been happening to them ever since this came out years ago? They get more money. I've digressed a little bit here. The idea of personal freedom and personal responsibility used to be at the core of conservatism. It has left in this adherence to law and order. And I got to tell you, one other little pet peeve, and I'll move on in a second, but I am so sick of listening to politicians and the health authorities, air quotes here in the studio, telling us how proud they are of our behavior. We really are proud of how the American people have stepped up and stayed at home, like we're a bunch of well-behaved children. Look, I don't need any bureaucrat or politician or health authority to tell me how proud of me they are. If I think there's a risk somewhere, I'm going to avoid it because I'm not an idiot. But I also think I should have the freedom to judge whether or not it's really serious. And I should be able to go into a bar tonight and have a beer if I want to take on that risk, because now we have the information in. This is not Ebola. But God, I'm sick of hearing any people say how proud they are of how Americans have responded. What do you mean, how proud you are? You haven't given us a choice. I'm reading the headlines right here. You're threatening $1,000 fines for walking down the wrong side of the street. Don't be proud of us. You are abusing us right now as we speak. But I just hate that. It's to be proud of us. Like we're doing something to honor them. We're doing so great with their new system of complete societal shutdown. Congratulations, America. They're happy with you. They're impressed with your behavior. I don't know. I know that rubs me a different way than it does most people, but boy, it just gives me the heebie-jeebies to hear any bureaucrat tell me how proud of me they are. All night
with the king. Think back to your childhood. I bet you can recall that one person who was always tattling on you. You took an extra cookie from the jar. They told mom. Didn't brush your teeth before bed. They ratted you out. Well, our own bodies are a lot like those childhood tattletales, consistently giving us reports of our health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop.
Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
We are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. Thanks for joining me today. Phone number here, 601-879-0002. The big headline this weekend is Fauci went on, I guess, some Sunday morning show, or I don't know when he said this. More lives could have been saved if we had shut down sooner. Yeah. I mean, we could have shut down last December when the first case in China was discovered. We could have cut off all international air travel. All sheltered in place for the last 6 months. You know, we're going to probably really be dissecting Anthony Fauci coming up. He has a great presence. He's one of these people like Bill Gates, Warren Buffett. They just seem like, aw, shucks, you know, kind of, I don't know, normal people, right? Not real flashy. They're not George Soros, who actually is melting into an actual lizard person. These are just kind of normal-looking people. I mean, Bill Gates, yeah, he looks like a nerd, but I mean, since Bill Gates came on the scene as a nerd, nerds are cool now. He's just kind of the head nerd. But, you know, he's so accomplished and everything. So we just really feel like these are the people we should be listening to. It seems, you know, Warren Buffett. Warren Buffett is such a crony capitalist. I was disgusted by what he did after the 2008 financial crisis, and I'm sure he's doing the same things now. Warren Buffett got huge deals on things, but he wouldn't buy certain things unless the government, unless taxpayers backstopped his chance at losses. Very, very slimy, swampy behavior. But he's an all-shucks guy from Omaha who eats Dairy Queen and drinks Coca-Colas. Very unassuming. Still lives in a reasonable house. There's some things to admire about Warren Buffett. Certainly he's had good investment returns, but he's a snake. I mean, the guy's a crony capitalist. He's a multi-billionaire, and he's the one out there saying tax rates should be raised here in this country. He just can't believe that his secretary pays a higher rate than he does. These people are all snakes, and Fauci is outing himself as one of these snakes. And this is why... You know, this is really probably my biggest disappointment with Donald Trump is the people that have surrounded him. Now, he didn't pick Fauci. Fauci has been swimming in this establishment medical mafia swamp for 40 years through every administration. Made his bones on this kind of stuff, vaccines and things like that. And Trump hopefully will fire him. And to you leftists out there, there's people who just hate Trump and think everything he does is wrong. I mean, you're going to listen to Fauci say that. Did you want to lose your job back in January? Is that what you wanted? You didn't want to wait till March to lose $16, $17 million jobs. You wanted to lose $16, $17 million jobs back in January. That's when you think Trump really should have put the hammer down on the economy. I mean, think for yourselves for just a second. I know you hate Donald Trump, but seriously, how safe do you want to be? You know, this is a country. I mean, this stuff hits me, and I don't know if this is going to insult people when I say this. This is a country that was built, we fought against minuscule taxes from the British Empire. We fought a bloody war against the imposition of taxation. Now we take whatever is deemed to come down from on high in Washington, D.C. We just sit and anxiously wait. What are you going to take from us this year? Ooh, the Republicans are going to take 3% less. GOP, GOP. Go look at the taxes that the founding fathers rebelled against with England. I mean, there's nothing like what we're paying right now. Yet we lay down and, again, we act like well-behaved children. This is a country that was founded on, you know, this northeastern part of the United States and then the great wilderness, which was the rest, where people went out in horse-drawn carriages, in wooden-wheeled wagons, through mountain overpasses in the winter to find freedom and stake their claim. Now we can't be trusted to go in and get a hamburger inside a restaurant. That's too dangerous. This is the infantilization of an entire country that was built on rugged individualism. And now every move that we have is micromanaged. And it is heartbreaking what's happening to our small business owners. You know what the solution to this was? Somebody should have made a whole lot of money. Local printers should have made a whole lot of money providing enter at your own risk signs. Boom. Done. And you know what would have happened? Business would have slowed down. God knows in central Mississippi, we got so many people with pre-existing health conditions here. We're the unhealthiest state in the country, notwithstanding my efforts every week from 10 to 11 o'clock on Wednesdays. Hopefully some of you have improved some of your underlying conditions. We'll talk about that again on Wednesday. But a bunch of signs that say, in light of the possibility of contacting a virus from those around you, enter this establishment at your own risk. You don't get to sue us because 3 days after you eat at our establishment, you got coronavirus and you're in such poor health that it was really hard on you. You don't get to sue us. We warned you, but go out and live your life as you see fit. Again, we conquered the plains. We settled an entire massive landmass with no technology, with wooden-wheeled wagons. People would go, there were no hospitals. When you're going out and settling, you're not getting into a, it wasn't your lack of access to health care that scared you. No. People said, I want to make a better life for myself and my family. I hear there's land out there, and they loaded up everything they owned and they took off. No cell phones if they get into trouble. No AAA to come by and change the wagon wheel should something happen. And now, seriously, we can't go to the park. We're calling the cops on a neighbor who's coughing in his backyard. I don't anticipate it, but boy, this should be such a gut check time for the American people. Should just realize how we've just rolled over like puppies and exposed our belly to this system. And we hang our head. We want to be in compliance at all times. And I'm telling you, you need to expand your view of this and really understand what has happened. We have allowed, whether it is state, local, or federal government, into every nook and cranny of our lives. And we're seeing what happens when they just decide arbitrarily that the freedoms that they've allowed us to enjoy, they're not freedoms anymore. They're privileges. And privileges, like when you have children, can be revoked. I bought my son a car last year. I explained to him, here's the car. The title is in my name. As long as your grades are good, you're behaving yourself, you've got a very nice car that will last you all the way through college and into early adulthood. But it's a privilege. And if your grades go bad or something goes off the rails, I own this car, not you, and I will take this car back until you get yourself. See, that's a privilege that I have between a parent and a child. I set expectations of my child, and he understands them. But I ain't the government's child. I'm a fully functioning adult, and we have allowed freedoms to become privileges here in this country. And it doesn't matter what party is imposing this new system of privileges rather than freedoms. We should oppose it. Got a caller on the line. Caller, I got about 1 minute. What you got? Well, I had a minute. You only took a second. So there you go. All right, I got to take a quick break. I'll be right back. All night
with the king. Food allergies know how difficult it can be to find quality, affordable restaurants that cater to your needs. That's why the folks over at Your Pie have made a commitment to ensure everyone can enjoy great-tasting pizza. Your Pie offers gluten-free dough, vegan, non-dairy cheese, and non-dairy sorbet. Just ask for it next time you're in line. Matter of fact, just mention any allergy you have, and the folks at Your Pie will go over the top to make sure you can safely enjoy their delicious food. That's Your Pie in Gluckstadt, where food allergies never stop you from being able to express your inner pizza.
Thank you. right into this world all alone. God takes your soul.
You know, we're talking about really the erosion of freedoms in this country. Now freedoms are really privileges that are granted to us on a basically a day-by-day basis. Want to start a business? This is the greatest country in the world. Our free market, free enterprise system. Do you have a license to do that? You know, it's a privilege. You got to pay your taxes. You got to pay your licensing. You got to abide by the regulations. Oh, you're free to go out there and do whatever you want to as long as you do what we tell you. Now, I understand with this virus the idea of overwhelming the healthcare system. That's one of the main reasons for trying to flatten the curve, and I understand that. But boy, if I'd known we were going to spend $10 trillion in the first month, probably could have built a few more hospitals for that amount of money and still come out about $9.5 trillion ahead. You don't want to know when you really, when I saw particularly Republicans, because I went after a friend of mine that was a Republican city council member when he voted for this. You don't want to know when Republicans really decided that, I mean, the drug war notwithstanding, that's just a horrible, I mean, the drug war is such a failed thing, but I won't get started on that. But when I saw the no smoking in restaurants come around, see, because most people don't like to go into a smoke-filled restaurant. I'll grant you, it's gross, it stinks. A lot of people who don't smoke are repulsed by it. I get all of that. But when you allow the local authorities to come in and say, we disallow this person who has opened a bar, who has either saved money or gone out and risk it all by borrowing a bunch of money to open up a restaurant, a pool hall, and we are going to stop him from allowing free human beings to come into his establishment and let them do what they want to do in smoking. But we let the nanny state come in, and because so many people are repulsed by smoking, which is fine, but you know what would have happened if you'd left out the free market? Many restaurants would have said, we're smoke-free, and they would have been packed. And then other restaurants would have gone, ooh, that place went smoke-free, and they're on an hour-long wait every night. People are trying to escape the smoke. We're going to be smoke-free, too. And then there would have been a few bars out there that said, you know what, our patrons like to smoke. And we're going to let them come in and smoke. And you know what you could have done if you hate cigarette smoke in a restaurant? You could have not gone there. Because the free market would have created a whole lot of smoke-free places for you. But Mike, secondhand smoke, it's killing everybody. If secondhand smoke was as deadly as the government has been telling us it is for all these years, there would not be a flight attendant over the age of 60. They were in aluminum tubes full of secondhand smoke for decades. And I'm sure some of them suffered ill effects of that, but not all of them. And you would think of secondhand, I mean, there's no worse place to be than an aluminum tube, 9 hours a day, a confined area with a, what, an 8-foot ceiling, 20 feet across, with secondhand smoke day in, day out, every day of your life. But we allowed them to come in and the authorities to mandate no smoking in restaurants. When we could have let the free market figure that out, it would have been just almost exactly the same thing, except a few places would have chosen something that you didn't approve of, and you could have just avoided those restaurants. But we love to have the government come in and fix what we think other people shouldn't be allowed to do. We have no core beliefs for freedom.
Mike Madison here. All of us should be flying our U.S. flag. And now's the perfect time to contact a complete flag source to have a flagpole installed at your home or business. For a limited time, all U.S. flags up to 5x8 along with flagpole setups are 15% off. That's 15, 20, and 25-foot in-ground kits, sectional, and aluminum. House spinner poles will keep your flag from wrapping in the wind, and a complete flag source has all of the right brackets. Visit a complete flag source, I-55 North Frontage Road, Jackson, or online at CompleteFlags.com.
I need your arms around me. I need to feel your touch. I need your understanding. I need your love so much. You tell me that you love me so. You tell me that you care.
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. This show is podcast. Get off the air. I produce a podcast of this show. You can go to WYAB.com, scroll down, you'll find my show page, and That'll take you to my podcast link, which is themikemadisonshow.podbean.com, or you can subscribe on Apple Podcasts as well. I guess people have been more bored than normal. My podcast numbers have been going up and up. I am going to do a show tomorrow. I believe I'll do this tomorrow on the state of the United States economy. And I got to tell you, I spent 6-7 hours trying to really dig down into the truth about where America finds itself right now financially. No propaganda, no spin, the numbers, the actual numbers in a whole host of categories. And it is not for any other reason except to explain to you exactly what's going on, what the problems are. I think it's, and what I'm going to do too is I'm going to make my show notes of that show available too with all of the source material that I used to get there. It's the truth about the U.S. economy. Why does that matter, Mike? You're always talking down the economy. No, I'm trying to tell you the truth. If there is a fire in your backyard, in the grass in your backyard, and the wind has got it to where it's encroaching on your house, I'm not going to come in and tell you how much I love your drapes. I'm going to tell you, hey, might want to look out the back there. You got a little bit of a problem. You got a hose? Let's put this fire out. That's who I am. This is a very well-researched thing. I'll be doing that on tomorrow's show, I believe. Talking, you know, kind of about the reaction to this thing as far as we're allowing the government to treat us like a bunch of children. All of our rights, we find out now, are really just privileges. You own a business? We'll let you know if you can open up or not. We'll let you know where you can eat, where you can't eat, and what form your eating out can take. A country of rugged individualists who settled a great land mass at great personal risk every time any of the frontiersmen headed out. Can't imagine how many people failed. I can't imagine. Look, I got to tell you, I'm not the outdoorsman I'd like to be. How many people failed? They lost their crops. Big thing. No bailouts for them. They picked up. They tried again somewhere else. Now, I'm looking at all the people asking for bailouts. The zoos. The zoos are the newest one on the list. The zoos are going to need a bailout. Maybe they're just riding high on the Tiger King publicity that they're getting, but zoos are going to need a bailout. And I've got a question, too, that may not be real popular right now. We're going to have a period of time, which, you know, I'm okay with. The ideas of all of our first responders being heroes in this, I like that. They should have their day in the sun. It's got to be pretty nerve-wracking, and particularly in overwhelmed hospitals and some of the hot spots. That's been some pretty tough work. But can I ask this one question? Because I see on our bailout list, as they continue to ask for bailouts, hospitals. And I hear a lot of health authorities and anybody that's talking about these bailout bills, whether it's Pelosi or Trump, saying, yeah, we got $150 billion for hospitals. Can somebody please explain to me why hospitals need a bailout when they have more customers than ever? Now, the government has said if you have coronavirus, they're picking up the tab on the whole thing. More about that in just a minute. But if hospitals are full, it's not like they're providing this care as charity. And many hospitals are profit-making things. Now, some of them are research hospitals, UMMC. I don't really know the financials of that. But if every person that comes into a hospital leaves that hospital with a bill, now, I haven't had to seek any medical care for 15 years now because, I don't know, I pay attention to what I shove into my pie hole and it seems to be working out for me. But my understanding is that when you go seek help from a doctor or a hospital, you leave there with a bill. And most people have insurance that pay those bills the same as they always have. Coronavirus is no different than a bad flu season. Why do the hospitals suddenly need bailouts? Hospitals and nursing homes spent $99.7 million lobbying in 2018. Oh, okay, I get it now. I get it now. When hospitals are at the forefront of a nice PR move where we're all thankful for our hospitals and everybody's going by and applauding for them. And that's fine. I've got no problems with that. They're helping a lot of people. I'm just questioning the bailout side of this. It's kind of like would the airlines need a bailout if suddenly everybody had to fly somewhere? Kind of seems like that'd be a good time for airlines. I suspect this is more what's going on. As I started this story, hospitals and nursing homes spent nearly $99.7 million lobbying in 2018, according to the Center for Responsive Politics, slightly more than the $99.63 million the industry spent the year prior. That's still $8 million away from the $107.5 million the industry spent lobbying in 2009 during the run-up to the Affordable. They still call it that. Affordable. The Affordable Care Act. American Hospital Association and its state subsidies collectively topped the list of hospital groups lobbying in 2018 in terms of dollars spent at $23.9 million, a record high for the association. Ah, that's why the bailout bills provide $150 billion of financial assistance to the hospitals here in this country. Now, I'm dead serious about this. If I've got this wrong somehow, I'd like to know, because I don't know of another area. The post office right now is notoriously underwater in money. It should be shuttered. It should have been shuttered decades ago. Private industry has proven they can take a piece of paper from one location to another efficiently. So I'm not sure why the government feels it has to do it still. But anyway, if the post office was suddenly besieged by a bunch of new mail, well, I don't know. The post office could probably still lose money at that. That may be a bad example. If any other organizations out there ended up being swamped with customers, that's usually a good thing. Particularly for a mature. Now, there's small startups who can actually, your demand can overwhelm you and actually cause you problems. But for an established industry, why do hospitals suddenly need $150 billion in bailouts when they've got record patients? Every bed is full and generating revenue at these hospitals. Yet they're in the bailout list. Huh. I'm sure these lobbying dollars, record lobbying dollars in 2019, and ongoing up to and including today, I'm quite sure that the lobbyists are working Congress critters and this government when all this fat, juicy taxpayer cash is being bundled out in bailouts. That's why the hospitals are getting money, because I certainly cannot see any other logical reason that hospitals need a bailout at this particular time. Bernie Sanders dropped out of the race last week, I guess it was. Trump sent out a tweet essentially saying, hey, Bernie supporters, come support you. Joe Biden and the DNC screwed you out of your chance to elect Bernie again. You should come on over to the Republican Party. Well, I've got some evidence that that tact may actually be working. See what you think about this when I come back. Stay with me.
Think back to your childhood. I bet you can recall that one person who was always tattling on you. You took an extra cookie from the jar. They told mom. Didn't brush your teeth before bed. They ratted you out. Well, our own bodies are a lot like those childhood tattletales, consistently giving us reports of our health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
All right, welcome back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. You are listening right now to one of the only talk show hosts, apparently, in the United States who can do math. And I'm pointing out the math on this bailout stuff. I did quite a show when they first announced the big $2.2 trillion plus the $4.5 trillion that the Fed was doing. The Fed announced another $2.3 trillion last week. And these numbers don't add up to me. They're calling for a 40% pullback in GDP to the United States, okay? And even being generous, if this is even larger than the economy's ever been, but I round up to try to be conservative. If we're doing $2 trillion a month, full year's GDP is around $22 trillion. I'm taking it up. I'm giving them an extra $2 trillion. If we're doing around $2 trillion a month and it's down by 40%, what is that, $1.2 trillion? Left, we're $800 billion per month down in GDP. And yet after 1 month, they've announced almost now $9 trillion of bailout. Why did they need $9 trillion of bailout if the economy is only softened by $800 billion so far? Well, Mike, you don't understand. This could be long-lasting. They're trying to... Why do you need to fill up an eight... Let's just say this has been going on for 2 months, because really it is about 2 months. That's $1.6 trillion in softened economic activity. Many things, sectors are still working. Grocery stores are picking up a lot of sales. They're actually improving. But let's just take the banker's estimation that maybe 40% of GDP over the last 2 months, that's $1.6 trillion, and they have passed almost $9 trillion in bailouts. And they're not done. We're still going to see infrastructure and all that. I'm going to address this tomorrow on the show when I really break down what's going on with the economy. I've also been the only person who's done the math to figure out that the American people, and this was before the latest $2.5 trillion that the Fed is announcing, American people, the actual people, you know, us little things. What did the Republicans say in their mailouts? Was it the everyday American? Something like that. We're going to get 6% of what had been announced before the latest $2.3 trillion that the Fed's doing. So it was 6% before that. Now it's probably somewhere around 5% of all the money is actually going to end up in the people's pockets. The rest is going to the banks and the mega corporations. Again, for some reason, I'm the only show host who will do that math for you, but I think it's kind of important when you're deciding whether or not to support these monstrous bailout bills. Do you know in this last bailout bill, do you know what the Fed is buying now? Using your money, you understand. I mean, they're printing it out of thin air, but the bottom line is that the American taxpayer, you are the collateral for this money. If things go sideways, they'll collect it through taxation from you, the producers in this country. You wake up in the morning, you get in your car, probably shower before you head out, get all dressed up, go to your work a job that vast majority of you probably don't love. It wouldn't be the first choice for that day. And the government uses that ability for you to wake up every morning and go produce something. They use that as collateral for all this stuff. They're buying junk bonds now. Do you know what junk bonds are? I'm sure everybody's heard that term, but do you understand what junk bonds are? Junk bonds are debt for risky corporations. It's risky debt. Imagine one of your friends who doesn't have a great financial picture, but he needs to borrow some money. You think he's going to pay it back. You think it's pretty good, but there's a pretty good risk he might not be able to pay it back. You would charge him a higher interest rate than that friend of yours that you know has got a lot of them. They just, you know, they need a short-term infusion of cash, but you know they're solid and they've got the assets to back it up that you know they're going to pay you back. So maybe you only charge them 5%. But you got that kind of sketchy friend. It's like, I'd like to help him out, but yeah, I got to tell you, that's kind of risky. You're going to have to pay me 15%, right? Mortgage company, everybody does it. All lenders do it. When you see somebody that's, there's a little risk to loaning to this person, you charge them a higher interest rate, right? So junk bonds are these corporations who need money, but it's not a slam dunk that they're going to pay back. So investors loan money to these corporations, and they get a high interest rate on that. And in particular, with the historically low interest rates that we've had over the last 11 years, they've been kind of attractive because it was the only place you could actually get any return on your money. So they've been buying these junk bonds. Junk bonds are poorly rated bonds that pay high interest. The Fed is buying these out now. So let me explain to you exactly what that means. That means investors invested in risky loans They loaned money to risky corporations, knowing that just by the term junk bond and the ratings that these bonds have on them, they're not good. They knew they were taking on a risk. But what they've been getting all along the way to reward them for taking this risk was high returns. You know, while you've been getting half of 1% on your savings account, the investors who loan money to these risky corporations have been getting 12%. Some company the other day I saw put out a 15% bond. So the investors who did that have been raking in the returns. While you're getting half a percent on your savings account at the bank, they've been getting 15% a year. And now, some of those underlying companies are at risk of maybe going out of business because of what we're seeing right now. Now, that is implicitly the risk that these investors who bought junk bonds took on. They knew that the companies they were investing in were fragile. So they took on that risk, and they were rewarded for it handsomely. Again, they're making 15% on their money. And now the Fed has stepped in and said, hey, we're going to buy all these junk bonds. So everybody who took a risk, see, they got all of the great returns for all these years in the junk bond market. And right at the point where the risk that they took might turn out to play out, and they might lose some money on these bonds, the Federal Reserve says, oh, no, we'll just step in and buy them. Now, we're not clawing back any of those great returns they've been getting for years and years, are we? Of course not. No, they get to keep the returns, and then the taxpayer gets to eat the losses. I hope I'm making this really clear. It's almost difficult to do on the radio. I would need to talk about this for maybe 15 or 20 minutes, and I don't want to bore you with it. But here's the bottom line. These bailouts are rewarding bad behavior. They did in 2008, and they are now, and you're on the hook for it. They're buying junk bonds. I just scratched my head. Wow. What a great thing. This just means that these Wall Street firms and underwriters who have underwritten all these risky loans, they're just going to do a ton more of it because they know that there's almost no risk to them. They could get the high returns, and if the company starts to go belly up and they might lose all of the principal value of their bond, the Fed will just step in and buy it using taxpayer-backed money. You are the collateral. And I mean, I watched wealth inequality just crawl higher and higher. It wasn't crawling. Excuse me. It was running up a hill. Wealth inequality under Barack Obama. For all you leftists out there who think Obama was a man of the people, I don't know how many times I can debunk that. It is so. I told you last week, I read the stories about how Citibank actually picked Barack Obama's cabinet. And that's not an exaggeration. A Citibank executive sent an email to Barack Obama's campaign when he first got elected and said, here's who we think should be in your cabinet. And Barack Obama put all of those people in his cabinet. And the Federal Reserve made this wealth inequality absolutely horrible during the 8 years of Obama. We've never seen a disparity since maybe the Roaring Twenties or the Gilded Age, late 1800s, where there were the haves and the have-nots in this country. We've never seen it as bad as it is right now, and the Fed is making it worse as we speak. So for all of those out there who support these bailouts, because by gosh, golly, Mike, they got to do something. Well, the math is not adding up. They're doing a lot more than trying to cushion a soft economy. This is a time they are looting it. And I believe this is behind what we're seeing right now. I think the financial industry knew there was a crash coming. I'm going to cover this in some depth tomorrow. And so they are using this while your mind is all filled with visions of a funky little virus, wall-to-wall coverage of the virus, they are bailing themselves out of the bad situation that has been created over the last 11 years, and they're doing it under the cover of the virus, and you're not paying attention. Now, when I come back, Trump says he wants Bernie Sanders voters, and I think that might be a good tactic. It appears to be working. I've got a couple of clips that I'll play in just a second that are jaw-droppers. Stay with me.
Mike Madison here. All of us should be flying our U.S. flag. And now's the perfect time to contact a complete flag source to have a flagpole installed at your home or business. For a limited time, all U.S. flags up to 5x8 along with flagpole setups are 15% off. That's 15, 20, and 25-foot in-ground kits, sectional, and aluminum. House spinner poles will keep your flag from wrapping in the wind, and a complete flag source has all of the right brackets. Visit a complete flag source, I-55 North Frontage Road, Jackson, or online at CompleteFlags.com. All right, welcome back to the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB. Look, I am leading the charge on trying to stop conservatives from making the worst mistake I've seen you make since the Patriot Act, and that is accepting socialism under a Republican banner. And that's exactly what's happening right now, and I'm watching conservatives and Republicans twist all kinds of logic. They had to do something into accepting these massive bailout plans. When Bernie Sanders dropped out of the race, it cracked me up because I thought, of course he did. Why would he want the hassle of being president when the socialism that he wanted is coming into fruition anyway? He can hit the showers. The guy ought to just retire. He's got a bunch of money now. God knows what the DNC bribed him with this time to take a dive. He can go live the life of luxury and just watch the socialism and just say, see, I was able to accomplish it. I didn't even have to serve. That was a little bit more Yogi Bear than Bernie Sanders. I've got to work on impressions. It would probably add some entertainment value to the show. I'm not good at them, I don't think. But the idea that Bernie Sanders voters feel dejected, there's a big split in the Democratic Party between the progressives and the establishment Democrats who are propping up the corpse known as Joe Biden for the election. There's an opportunity for Trump to get in and collect some of these socialist voters, and I think it's working. Now, I've spoken many times about a guy named Jimmy Dore. He's a very progressive comedian. Now, I disagree with him on a whole host of policies, but he's very honest. He realizes what scumbags the Clintons are. Even though he's a leftist, he sees through the con job of Obama and Eric Holder, who let all the bankers go free. He understands the endless wars by Obama. He will call out the Democrats. He's even finally woken up and turned on Bernie Sanders because he saw that Bernie Sanders wasn't going to fight for this thing. It's not that he disagrees with Bernie Sanders on things. I mean, Jimmy Dore is a leftist, but he's an honest leftist. And he's pretty funny, too. So honesty is much more important to me than partisanship, even ideology, because you can speak to somebody with a different ideology if they're willing to be honest. Jimmy Dore does not like Donald Trump. Well, we'll talk about that in just a second. But he also saw through the Russian collusion stuff. I mean, Jimmy Dore, as a leftist, has been blasting Rachel Maddow on his show week in and week out for years now for leading this Russia hysteria, Russia meddled with our elections, all of the stuff that Republicans and conservatives have been talking about. Jimmy Dore, the progressive, has been honest enough to say, I don't like Trump, but this Russia stuff is ridiculous. He wasn't carrying water for Donald Trump. He was just saying, this Russia stuff is obscene. It's ridiculous. There's no evidence of this. So he's an honest liberal. I ran across a couple of clips of his this weekend. See what you think about this.
There is some real breaking news. This is real. The Hill is reporting that President Trump, well, here it is. President Trump says student loan payments have been waived for 6 months, and we'll discuss it after that. May even go further. Trump, what? Come on, let's listen.
They... The Department of Education is also announcing the availability of more than $6 billion in emergency grant funding to assist college students impacted by the cancellation of classes and the suspension of housing. A lot of people had a lot of things suspended. Housing is one of them. Previously, we waived student loan payments for 6 months. So student loan payments have been waived for 6 months. So we'll discuss it after that. May go further. And today,
Trump effortlessly moves to the left of the Democrats and Joe Biden. Effortlessly moved to the left. He's now going to give everybody medical care for their coronavirus. No out-of-pockets, no things, no nothing. You just show up. They take care of you. You go home. Government sends a check to the hospital. That's it. That's already happening for coronavirus. And here they are suspending all student loan payments for 6 months. And we'll revisit it. And making some aid available to people, to students. So that's breaking news. That's no small thing. That's Trump getting to the left of the Joe Biden and the Democrats. Anyway.
So there you go. The progressives are warming to Donald Trump because he has moved to the left of Joe Biden and the Democratic Party. Now, it's not just Donald Trump. I'm telling you, people, you are allowing the Republicans, because of blind party loyalty, to change the financial and governmental structure of the United States into socialism. And all in this name of, oh, they had to do something. I want you to listen to the leftists. It's not just Donald Trump. It is even Congress. Josh Hawley, who's done some pretty good things. I think I've reported on some of the things he's done before. He is out there leading the charge for all of this new social engineering through government spending. I want you to listen. These, again, this is Jimmy Dore and some of the other progressives on his show. These are hardcore leftist people. Again, they've got some honesty to them, so I respect that. It's okay if they disagree with me on some stuff. That's fine. I'd talk to them all day about how bad Medicare for All is or how bad free college would be. I mean, I can talk to them all day long about that in a friendly way. If they're willing to be honest, they listen to some of these things. Jimmy Dore's had libertarians on his show, and he's been on libertarian shows. He's open to other things. This is just his beliefs. But anyway, these are hardcore leftists. Listen to this.
Post reporter Heather Long, and she tweeted this out. Justin, GOP Senator Josh Hawley of Missouri proposes a Denmark-style plan where the U.S. government pays 80% of worker wages. Let me say that again. A Republican senator proposes that the government pays everybody's salary up to 80%, just like in Denmark. Beginning immediately, the federal government should cover 80% of wages for workers at any United States business, up to the national median wage, until this emergency is over. Which, that if this is going to be a depression, if that's the emergency, I think it is. The emergency would be the economic destruction caused by this pandemic. That would be considered under the umbrella of the emergency. So you would keep doing this until we got out of the depression, which probably isn't going to be for years. So I'll just read to you what is highlighted in the story from the WashPo. Beginning immediately, the federal government should cover 80% of wages for workers at any U.S. business up to the national median wage until this emergency is over. Further, it should offer businesses a bonus for rehiring workers laid off over the past month. The goal must be to get unemployment down now, to secure American workers and their families, and to help businesses get ready to restart as soon as possible. That's a Republican saying that. Nancy Pelosi didn't say that in the first stimulus, neither did Chuck Schumer. Isn't that amazing that none of the Democrat leaders put that in the bill the first fucking time? So once again.
So there you go. This is radical leftists. I call them radical. I mean, that's almost insulting because these people are relatively honest. So, you know, I've got to give them that at least. But they're talking about this stuff. I've got another clip here. This is Josh Hawley. You are seeing, this is socialism. You know, earlier, first clip, they were talking about Trump saying that they're going to suspend student loan payments for 6 months, and then they're going to take a hard look at it. Look, I have said since this coronavirus hit, this will be the most expensive presidential election in world history, not just out of the money that the candidates spend to run TV ads, but in what these politicians are going to spend in taxpayer money to try to paper over the mess that we have as our economy and that has been worsened by the coronavirus. Again, the coronavirus was the pin to pop this bubble. It wasn't the problem. And I'm going to do my show on it tomorrow. I really hope people will listen to the show tomorrow because it's, there needs to be some level of economic reality in this country if we're going to actually try to focus in on how things actually should be. But I believe that Trump and the Republicans, particularly in light of this crisis, are going to forgive student loans They are going to do something along the lines of the leftist and able to win more votes. I've said this since the beginning of re-election time. I've said that it's incredibly powerful. Joe Biden will probably go in order to get votes. Again, there's 46 million Americans right now that are toting tens of thousands of student loans. Even the most conservative person out in public, they're going to get in that voting booth. And if they think whichever candidate is going to wave a magic wand and get rid of their student loans, they're voting for that person. They may be the head of the college young Republicans somewhere, but if they're about to graduate and they're going to take $65,000, $75,000 of student loans with them out into the real world, and Joe Biden says he's going to wave a magic wand and get rid of those things, that head of the college young Republicans is going to look over his shoulder, make sure nobody's paying any attention, and he's going to vote for Joe Biden. And why wouldn't he? Save $65,000. I believe that Donald Trump and the Republicans are going to put forward some proposal under the guise of we needed to do something to help the young people in light of this crisis. It's vote buying. There was a second clip in here in this Jimmy Dore segment. Let me see where. Okay, he's got a panel with him also. And so these are all, they were Bernie bros. What I do respect about these people is they have turned on Bernie. They are AOC people sometimes too, but they've finally caught on to what a scam AOC is. AOC voted for these bailout bills. AOC, Bernie Sanders, Nancy Pelosi, I don't care if they're establishment or, you know, this, what's the name of that group? I know Democratic Socialists, but there's another name for these Democrats, Justice Democrats, I think. The Justice Democrats, along with the Republicans, outside of Thomas Massie, Republicans and the Justice Democrats all voted to give the banks trillions and trillions of dollars and give you about 5% of it. And see, Jimmy Dore and his progressive cabal here, again, I don't even want to use the term cabal, his progressive group here, they are on to that now. Now they see what a scam Bernie Sanders is. They see that AOC will do what she has to do to play the political game. Yeah, AOC is going to go out there and make herself look like a woman of the people, but ultimately she just bailed out the banks. Just like Barack Obama. Yeah, he's a community organizer, but boy, he bailed out the banks and then he covered their butts for the next 8 years as he let them all escape any criminal charges. A bunch of deferred prosecutions coming out of Obama Justice Department. And so Jimmy Dore and his group are at least awake enough to see that. I wish there were more Republicans awake enough to see what's being put over on you by the Republican Party. Here's one of the progressive team here at Jimmy Dore. I just want you to hear the language they're using. They're excited that the Republican Party is moving to the left of the Democrats.
But more than likely, Trump's going to give people Medicare for all. If this thing passes, 80% of wages, he's going to stave off. We're at 10% unemployment right now today. That just happened this week. And if Trump deals with this correctly, which it sounds like, unfortunately, I hate to say it, he's out-lefting everybody with all of these democratic socialist plans that Bernie should be screaming from the mountaintop, this is what I would be doing if I was your leader. You need to vote for me so I can handle this. Trump's going to get reelected.
There you go. This is a progressive talking about the democratic socialist ideas that are coming out of the Republican Party and Donald Trump right now. So Trump may be right when he's attracting the Bernie Sanders voters. Is this the way he should do it? Give in to them and actually enact democratic socialist policies. Bernie Sanders really is getting the last laugh on this. He became a celebrity, big massive rallies, everybody's stroking his ego, but he doesn't have to actually put up with any of the headaches of the job. He got, what, a lake house in 2016 when Hillary and the DNC stole the nomination from them? He got a lake house and millions of dollars of writing a book. Then he gets to do campaigns again, which I'm sure they're tedious, but I mean, you're treated like a rock star at these things. You go on the media, you whisk around in a private jet or some luxury bus, you get off to throngs of people applauding and chanting your name, and then he doesn't even have to do the hard stuff, which is actually getting in there and governing. And he gets his democratic socialism. Bernie Sanders turns out to be the political genius of the decade. I'll be right back.
If you're considering renovations, remodels, or roofing, call on Tri-County Restoration. Do you have an insurance claim? We work with all insurance companies. Tri-County offers kitchen and bath remodels, wood floor refinishing, patio and sunroom additions, and is a GAF-certified roofing contractor. And Tri-County Restoration can handle new construction for that home you've always dreamed of. Call Tri-County Restoration, 601-856-2530, or visit our website, tcr.ms. That's tcr.ms.
All right, final segment for today. Look, you're not tuned into some radical left-wing show just because I'm going after the Republicans. I'm just watching Republicans who profess this idea of free markets and, you know, all the other so-called conservative beliefs, but you're being hoodwinked into bailing out the bankers. There's nothing further from the ideas of the founding fathers of this country than banker bailouts in the trillions of dollars again. And they've been going ongoing for the last 11 years. So I'm watching the Republicans actually roll out socialism. See, because conservatives and Republicans were the one thing that was stopping democratic socialism, right? I mean, the left was going so far left that you had the right as kind of the counterbalance to maybe save us from democratic socialism. Who knew that ultimately these goals would be accomplished using the Republican Party instead of the Democratic Party? I am the turd in the punch bowl when it comes to Republican talking points. I admit it. But it's because you've been so badly misled and propagandized to for so long. The Democratic Party is abhorrent. They're terrible. Absolute, just off the rails nuts. The Republicans are just tricky. And at this point right now, what I'm seeing the Republican Party do is breathtaking. Breathtaking. Josh Hawley wants to start guaranteeing 80% of American salaries. I mean, you can explain to me where that's different than socialism. I just want to hear it in facts, not, well, they just had to do it. There's all kinds of things you could do here. I'll talk about those mostly tomorrow. One more thing. Republicans again. This is just amazing to me. Listen to this. Trump and the Republicans are trying to get oil prices up to save shale manufacturers. Now, I talked about this last week. Why didn't they try to save Blockbuster? Blockbuster Video employed 60,000 people at their height. And that does not include all of the landlords who were renting space to Blockbusters that had to close down. Commercial real estate took a huge hit when Blockbuster shut down. And that does not include all the mom-and-pop video stores that were put out of business by streaming video. And the red box at the convenience stores and grocery stores, mom and pop shops, retail, commercial space, 60,000 Blockbuster employees. Why didn't we save those? But the Republicans are hell bent to try to get the price of oil up. You and I are going to pay for it. It's basically they're going to manipulate things to try to get oil prices up so that you and I, the drivers in this country, will pay more in gasoline to bail out these oil company jobs. But it gets even worse than that. Listen to this one. A new bill has been introduced in the Senate, which, if passed, would punish Saudi Arabia over failure to cut oil production by removing all U.S. troops from the kingdom within 30 days. Bill Cassidy, a Republican from Louisiana, introduced it after Louisiana and other states have been impacted by the ongoing OPEC Plus crisis and price war between Russia and Saudi Arabia. Senator Cassidy's bill would also impose tariffs on all Saudi oil imports within 10 days of enactment, also aiming to ensure prices would not dip below $40 a barrel. That's double where they are right now. Now, listen, I'm an ideologically consistent guy, most consistent person you will hear on radio, certainly in this area. I can't stand Saudi Arabia. I am absolutely down with removing every single one of our troops from Saudi Arabia. But this funny thing is, this kind of leaves out, is I thought we were told that our troops were sent to Saudi Arabia for national security purposes. So why would we punish the Saudi Arabians by bringing our troops home if that would endanger national security? Air quotes here in the studio. So here's the dirty little secret this is exposing. Our troops in Saudi Arabia, in Iraq, and Afghanistan, and Libya, and Yemen have nothing to do with national security. Nothing whatsoever. They're oil industry mercenaries, and I don't mean that to cast blame at the troops themselves. They're being used that way. The only reason our troops are in Syria right now is not for national security. No, they're securing Syrian oil. I don't know where that oil's going, but somebody's making some money off that stuff. So the Republicans, and particularly Republicans from oil-producing states, and look, I understand it. They're under pressure. They've got constituents that have been bribing them for years and years. It's time for them to pay them back, right? When you buy a congressman, I don't care if it's pharmaceuticals or if it's arms dealers or whatever it is. When you buy a congressman, you expect a return. Well, this Republican is delivering, threatening to remove troops from Saudi Arabia and do all other kinds of things if they don't immediately double the price of a gallon of gasoline, immediately double the cost of a barrel of oil. And to anybody who's thinking, anybody who's got a couple of brain cells that can bump into each other, even if accidentally, you realize, oh, this was never about national security. We're serving oil interest over in the Middle East. And so we're going to use them, use our troops as pawns that if they don't play ball with some of the industry in the United States, we'll just remove the, I mean, won't that leave us horribly exposed to Iran, that huge threat, Iran, that we're all so scared of? We can't let them. No, of course, it's never about that. And just still scratching my head, just saying I can't understand why Republicans are rolling out democratic socialism. I can't understand why Republicans are trying to double the cost of a barrel of oil either at a time when Americans are hurting. This is one of the few things that has gone your way in the past 2 months. And they're trying to force it away from you. The one place that there is a bright spot. And it won't last long. If they've done nothing, the price of oil would rise as the economy gets churning again. They're going to force it up before then. So before you get your job. So get that $1,200 check. I understand they're sending them out now. Get it out. Put it into a separate account. You're going to use your $1,200 to pay the increasing gas prices over the next 12 months. Even that little 5% the American people are getting is just going to be a wash. See you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now.